discusses his trip to Palestine. And Todd Pierce, a retired Army attorney, talks about American militarism and how military rule has caused the degeneration of principles within the U.S. Constitution. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Lisa Loving speaks with writer Alifair Burke, that is, about her new suspense novel, The X. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, Rosemary Reed Miller discusses her book, Threads of Time, The Fabric of History, which profiles African-American dressmakers and designers from 1850 to the present. That's all coming up right after we hear from Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia next on KBOO. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Portland Bob Marley Birthday Party, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Melody Ballroom in Portland. The life of Bob Marley will be celebrated with live reggae by Simba Puma and the Roaring Lions, by DJs Reggae Bob and Pablo One from Kingston, Jamaica, and live streaming from Kingston's own Bob Marley Festival. Again, that's the first annual Portland Bob Marley Birthday Party, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Melody Ballroom at 615 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 4th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Kevin Zeese with Popular Resistance, talking about the 5:30 p.m. yesterday Trans-Pacific Partnership signing. This is a momentous event. Still, very few people, even people who consider themselves activists, know what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is. People who signed it don't know what it is. We don't know what we're getting ourselves into, and there is no way out. That said, we'll be speaking with Kevin in just a moment, but first this. Newly released documents show that the four remaining occupiers at Malheur are facing charges, serious charges. An indictment unsealed today names a total of 16 defendants, including Ayman Bandy and other occupiers. A federal grand jury charged all with felony conspiracy, accused of using intimidation to prevent federal officers from doing their work at Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. And on that note, too, the other wildlife areas across Oregon are armoring up because of the possibility, the threat of other militia type groups, terrorist groups, domestic terrorism. We might as well just call it what it is, and talk about that instead of nosying around and this business of militia and what a militia really is. A militia today is not what it used was even just 10 years ago. Reports coming out of the Southern Poverty Law Center have indicated that these are far more violent. They are, of course, heavily armed, and they essentially just take no prisoners. It's it's a problem that it is only going to get worse. It's not going to go away. And I'm looking right now for a report that we have on what we could expect in the future as far as our public lands here in Oregon. It's a scary thought. Farm regulators here in Oregon have proposed an overruling an administrative judge's findings that the emergency suspension of an aerial pesticide applicator's license was unwarranted. The looming decision marks the latest turn of events in the legal battle between the Oregon Department of Ag and Appleby Aviation, which faces steep fines for, allegedly, they say, they have to say, that ignoring the agency's order to stop spraying pesticides. This is the indication of the privatization of everything in our lives, including our legal system. Companies like Appleby imagine that that laws don't apply to them. Essentially, it's the privatization of law enforcement, and it continues apace. Of course, the foot soldiers in the aggressive privatization of all of our public offices. The foot soldiers in this are, of course, the likes of the militia occupying Mal-Europe. Additional security has been sent to national wildlife refuges in Southern Oregon, Northern California, and Nevada amid the ongoing armed occupation of Mal-Europe. That alone is indicative. And on a totally different subject, but something that we should concern ourselves with sooner or later, new research by the Women's Media Center shows that male voices and perspectives are blocking out females, even in coverage of women's reproductive health. Female journalists produce 37% of articles on contraception or abortion, compared with 52% by men. Last year alone, states passed 57 laws restricting reproductive rights. This study suggests that a reporter's gender also affects who is quoted in news stories, with women tapping female sources more often than their male counterparts. And it goes on. The gender bias reaches even deep into newsrooms, even deep into what might be called progressive newsrooms. It's evident pretty much all over the place at this point. We have Kevin Zeese on the line waiting patiently right now. There has been a signing. It happened 5:30 yesterday afternoon. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you. Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for joining us today on KBOO's Air Cascadia.
Happy to be here.
Well, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, still people who signed it don't know what's in it, and there are activists and people who consider themselves members of the activist community that still aren't up to speed. We still, even when some of the details of it are discussed, it's as though people are in denial, because it is such a frightening thing. Once signed, this is it. There's no turning back. Can you talk about what went on yesterday then?
Yeah, yesterday was a signing ceremony, and it doesn't mean that we've lost, doesn't mean it's over. In fact, what we've been seeing has been an escalation of protests. Today there are almost 40 protests happening in cities across America. You can see that on flushthetpp.org on their actions page. And there's a map with all the various protests. In addition to those cities in the United States, there are 7 countries that are involved in protests today. Yesterday, we saw very aggressive protests in New Zealand, where it was signed, blocking the streets and bridges that go to the gambling casino, which was the building it was signed in. And there were protests in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Seattle yesterday. So there's an escalation of anger about this. And the issue now is ratification. The Congress, both houses, have to approve it. All the countries have 2 years to approve it. It requires 6 countries to approve it. They need to make up 85% of the GDP of the 12 countries. or it does not become law. And so right now in Congress, it's looking less and less popular. People are more and more, elected officials are more and more reluctant to consider this in an election year. Even the Republican leaders who generally support these kinds of agreements are hesitant. They know, Mitch McConnell noted after meeting with President Obama that he's not going to guarantee that Obama's going to get to sign it, that it may take into 2017 for this to be done. He points out that Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders oppose it. Of course, Bernie has been a long-term opponent of these kinds of corporate trade agreements. Hillary is mixed on this, and we don't count her as a solid ally. And then on the Republican side, every candidate over 10% in the polls opposes the trade TPP. So McConnell pointed out yesterday that all the leading presidential candidates oppose the TPP, and he thinks it would be inappropriate to go forward with it in an election year. So that's good news.
Yeah, it is. Opposition to this thing is, if anything, growing massively. Certainly, we see it here in Portland and surrounding areas. It's the opposition. The more people know, of course, about this thing, the more they do oppose it. What puzzles me, however, is that it seems that President Obama has not heard anything that people are saying. He seems absolutely deaf to public opinion on this particular issue and is still seemingly keen on the Trans-Pacific Partnership becoming part of his so-called legacy. Well, we know, of course, he's in the pocket of every corporate interest, Wall Street, the whole works. But still, given that, and given that, even, you know, Wall Street is beginning to take a second look at this thing, why is Obama still so keen on it and so completely deaf to public opinion here?
Well, Obama is not a populist. I mean, you know, remember when people were pushing a more progressive agenda, he said, quoted FDR and said, "Make me do it." Well, he had the Occupy movement, he had Black Lives Matter, he had the Fight for 15, he had all these social movements during his administration, and he ignored them all. You know, he never advocated $15 an hour like the movements want. He goes to 10 an hour, which is still poverty wages. I mean, so he's never been a populist on any of these issues. He's always been, throughout his career, before becoming president, he's always been a corporate Democrat, and that's where his ideology is. That's what he believes in. He believes in markets. He believes in big business having the answers to these kinds of problems. And he's raised money from those interests throughout his career as well. So it's not surprising he makes it his number one economic priority for the coming legislative session. And it's just good news that we were able to fight him off on getting fast-track trade authority for 2 to 3 years. And as a result, he's now stuck in an election year, which makes it much more difficult for him to pass it, and he may not get the glory of seeing it passed while he's president. And we'll have to have the ability to keep growing this movement, keep people active and opposed, continue to show their opposition, especially to politicians in your state where you have some serious problems, and Senator Wyden, for example. And we need to keep building that movement and showing that movement's opposition, and then be prepared for first, a lame duck session, which is a risky time period for anything like this.
Oh, yes.
I think, and then, of course, 2017, when it'll probably come up again during the honeymoon period of the next president. You know, so if Hillary Clinton is president, which is probably the most likely guess at this stage, she'll need to be pushed during her honeymoon to oppose the TPP. And if he pushes it, need to be stopped. So that'll be a big challenge. We got to build to that.
There's no chance. Is there any chance of one of these signings that takes place when basically no one's watching? Is there any end run that could possibly accomplish this?
Congress ratifying it without us knowing?
Yeah.
There are so many people watching this, and we have so many allies in Congress. I'm pretty confident we'd get good warning that things are moving forward. So, no, I don't think that's possible. We know that the lame duck session is a possible time period will have a lot of variables depending on how the presidential race goes and what's in the future as far as presidential leadership, what kind of congressional vote there is. Even though lame ducks don't have to face a vote, if there's a big opposition to TPP vote, For example, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is removed from office in her congressional race in Florida.
Bingo.
By a guy who is Tim Cassola, who's an activist on TPP. He's out there with us doing protests, and now he's running for Congress against Wasserman Schultz. And so if he gets defeated, that will be a big signal. So no, I don't think they can do an end run. I think we're building power enough. We have enough connections through various organizations and through various members of Congress that we'll know if anything starts to happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of momentum that people are beginning to sense. And that, of course, brings more people on board. More people want to know, hey, what's going on? What is this thing? So Kevin, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for talking on this.
If people want to follow this, they should go to either popularresistance.org. We cover TPP regularly there. We have on one of our sliders on top a TPP banner. Or go to our campaign, which is flushthetpp.org. If you take the pledge there, then you'll be put on a list and occasionally get mailings about what's going on with the TPP. So flushthetpp.org or popularresistance.org.
Again, thank you so much. My guest this morning has been Kevin Zeese with Popular Resistance. And go there. Find out more about this if you don't know. And if you do know about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, go get the updates because it is heartening to know that there is indeed momentum. Today, this has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, February 4th, 2016. Engineering for us today, Roch Bergeron. Thanks to that, Roch. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, Vince Warren from the Center for Constitutional Rights joins us to talk about his recent trip to Palestine.
He knew it'd be shocking, but he tells us he really wasn't quite prepared for what he saw.
Retired Judge Advocate General Todd Pierce